This morning I want to share with you the topic on godly leaders. And it's touched my heart because I look at this and I re-examine my life. And how can I be more like him, more like Jesus? Billy Graham say that at the end of Close's life, he said if he able to do his ministry again, he would study more on the Word of God and pray more. And so I thought about that deeply and say, yes, I want to be close with God. I want to know more about God's will for my life. But what is tech to be a godly leader? It's not just a regular leader. It's a lot of people who step into the church and want to use whatever strategies out there to apply in the church to be a leader. But godly leaders are so different. It's different from the worldly leaders. And how can we find that path? How do we find that leadership that God calling each one of us? One way, every one of us leaders one way or another, because we affect other people. Good or bad, we have influence on other people, and that's why God say that everyone's a leader. Either you're a parent, leader to your children, or a head of the family, leader to your family, or a leader into your work. You brought some leadership into your work, or even in the church. And so everyone, we can learn something about leadership, and especially godly leadership. There's a story have been told that there's a missionary travel to Africa. And he's traveled with local people to take him across the jungle. And apparently he seemed to be that the two men get lost in the jungle. And the missionary asked, do you know how to get there? Well, I will take you there. And so the missionary feels safe. And so as he traveled, the local man just cut one branch at a time and go down to the jungle. He go left and right and left, kept going. And go for half day and whole day and on and on. The missionary started getting worried. And he asked the local man right there, say, do you know the path? And the local man looked back at the missionaries to say to the missionary, I am the path. He made the path for the missionary to walk. And I thought about that story. I thought about Christ saying, I am the path. Just follow me. See, a leader is not a person only find Jesus Christ to follow, but make a path for other people to follow. We not only find the eternal life, but we help other people to find eternal life. That's what is godly leaders are about. Three things I want to share with you as we're going to dig into the Word of God. Story about Nehemiah. And he will point out three things that we will see. And these three things I want you to think about it. The three quality of leaders is need to have a heart. The second thing is you need to have a head. And the third thing, you have to have gut. Those three things will help us to understand how to be a godly leader. Let's turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1. And I paint through the story here so you can understand what is the background of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, just similar to Daniel, that he will capture the who he sent far off to the distant, that he served the king, but he still longed after his homeland. What happened to Jerusalem? What happened to the temple? That he continued long after what happened to his homeland. Remember, he was captured. He was moved away from his hometown. And he longed to hear about what happened to his hometown. Well, he received a letter. He received other message. And this is what happened. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3. End of verse 3, say, the wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burnt with fire. Now, when he heard about that, he deeply sorrowed. He feel hurt. He used to be run with a kid, understand, around the wall of Jerusalem, see the beautiful gate, and now it's broke down and burnt up. If you put yourself in the feet of Nehemiah, what do he feel? Did he just let it go and say, so what? I find a new home in this foreign land. I enjoyed eating a strange food. But no, my friend, it's different. Verse 4 say, it was, so it was, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many, many days. And I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. He was wept to hear about the wall of Jerusalem broke down. No one took care of the city. No one took care of the temple. As years and years go by, he longed that he can go back to see his homeland. My friend, that's how he feels. For something you so dearly love and just break down and devastate it, you want to come back. You want to do something. But he crying into who? To God. He fasts. You know, when a person fasts in prayer, he seeks after God for something. He seeks after God to ask God, do something about it. This is your temple. This is your people. This is where you have bring your people to build up this temple. What happened? How can you let it be desolated? But verse 6, he started to describe, said, please let your ears to attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night. He said, I'm going to pray day and night until the Lord can hear me. Lord, I pray for you. If you don't hear me yet, I'm going to pray again. I'm going to pray until you answer my prayer. And for the children of Israel, your servant, and confess the sin of the children of Israel, and we have sinned against you, both my father's house and I have sinned. Now Nehemiah, he saw what happened to the wall of Jerusalem, and he started to confess his sin. He started to cry out, say, Lord, I must have done something wrong to see this curse upon this city. There's something in me. Lord, search my heart. If you find anything wrong, you find any sin, lead me into the road of righteousness. That's what he cried out. My friend, to be a God leader, you have a heart tuned into God. Lord, it's hurting me. And it must be hurting you. I want to do something about it. You see, a godly leader who want to ask God, Lord, what's hurting you? Please lay that burden upon my heart. A burden of God for soul winning, Lord, lay that burden upon my heart. That's what godly leaders say. Lord, what has hurt you? Help me to understand that hurt so I can sense. You see, that's what you want to follow God. You want to see where's God. God, I'm sure, is in heaven crying about this. Because your sin, because you don't care about God's temple. For years, you don't rebuild the temple. What happened? You have enough manpower. Why don't you do anything about it? That's what Nehemiah crying out. What happened? How come no one do anything about it? I want to share you another text here in Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 and verse 36. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. If we stop right there, we don't understand anything about God's heart. He didn't just come down and just heal the sick. Wow, he can do miracle. He can do one time and 10 people could be healed. If we just think about that, that's all we know. We don't know what God's heart is. Read verse 36 with me here and see. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Now Jesus walked down the street. He see people different from how the other people see. He walked down the street. He took the disciple with him. And the disciple only see the people just come down and beg for food. Somebody come just ask for a miracle. Someone just come for ask for blessing. But Jesus did not see that. Jesus sees something beyond what the disciples saw. Jesus see people, lost people in the world. Now, I want to see that picture. I want to see God put that picture in my heart. I want to see lost people. When I walk down the street, do I see lost people? Do I see just another man on the bike, another woman driving? What do I see? When I do a prayer walk around the block, what do I see? I walk by the home, do I see anything? Do I see a home broken down? Do I see a people, a man a drunk? What do I see? Do I see lost soul? My friend, the quality of a leader is to have a heart for soul. Long for people. Long to bring healing to people. That's what Jesus wants. If we want to be leaders of God, we need to have that longing. And that longing can never be happen unless we request. I tell you this, last night at midnight, I just want to pick up a phone call to call a man in Walla Walla. You know him, Wat Dong Tong. He came here. And he's, as we talk, and I just somehow I need some comfort as I prepare, or at least thought about this sermon, because I don't see I'm worthy to preach this topic. After I talk with him, he say, Pastor Vin, as I see you compared with other pastors, somehow you have longing for lost soul. Somehow you desire to see other churches to grow. And share with me, where do you get that desire? What book do you read? What information you get? What sermon do you listen? And I ponder upon that. I say, I don't read any book on this. Maybe here and there, but not only move me. It's not because of sermon, but because I kneel down and ask God, you give that burden in my heart. Just give to me. Just give to me. And many years I cry now for that. That's only do. And so when I share with that with Duan, he say, is that right? And he say, I must do the same. I need to spend time with God to have the same burden. What move God? I want that same thing move me. That's what I want to. And so that's what we need to cry out, God, give me this city. Give me this people. Give me, Lord. Use me to be a blessing to others. And so the first point, quality of leader, is have a heart to feel. Verse 11 of Nehemiah chapter 1, this is what he ended with his prayer here. Oh, Lord, I pray, please let your ear be tentative and to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servant who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day. I pray and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. He prayed for not just asking wishy-washy, say, Lord, you can bless me anytime you want to. No, he asked, God, I need your blessing now. After I confessing the sin of Israel, after I confess my sin, I ask you to bless me now. What do you want me to do? When you come close to God, when you're a leader, come close to God, when you have a heart toward lost soul, you start crying out, what do you want me to do? I'm just a piece of dirt, God. Mold me to be an instrument that you can use for soul winning. Mold me, make me, break me, whatever you want to do with me, that I can see other people come to you. That's what a heart toward God. The second point, yes, many times we have a desire. We're so excited to do it. But sometimes we do it in hurry. We might do wrong things. You can do many things, but end up with little things. You can do a lot of things, but many things is not worth it to do. Like Martha say, only one thing that Jesus said to Mary and Martha, it's only one thing you need to do that Mary have is come to the knee, come to the foot of the cross. Today, many leaders are so bombarded with so many things. When you have feeling of doing things, you jump out, you do it, you do it. At the end of the day, so many things you do, you look back and say, What have I done? What have I done? And so all this happening is required ahead. A knowledge. And so number one is a heart. Number second thing is a head. Think intelligent. Plan it out. Don't rush into things. A leader cannot rush into things. Need to be calculate the plan. And pray. And soak that plan in with prayer. Ask God, is this what you want me to do? Is this what your plan? If not, blot it out. Start over again. And that's what Nehemiah did. Turn with me in the book of Nehemiah chapter 2. And verse 11. See, Nehemiah traveled 3 days and come to see Jerusalem. For the whole century, no one knew anything about the wall of Jerusalem and the gate. And when he traveled there, he don't just travel into the town and say, you know what, I'm coming back now. The king gave me so much fortune, I want to come back and throw a big party. No, he didn't do that. He didn't say, oh, come back. Oh, let's join back into the gang that we usually live in Jerusalem. No. He came back to Jerusalem quietly. Why? Verse 11. So I came to Jerusalem, and there was 3 days. Then I arose in the night. In the night, I and the few men with me, I told no one what God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. You know, you and I probably, when we feel that God put something in our heart, we would jump on board and say, do it. This is what God tell me, we do it. But Nehemiah didn't do that. He spent the night there. Why the night? He didn't want people to know about it. I don't know if the Bible didn't say this, but this is what I can imagine. When he heard about what happened to the temple, he broke in tears. But he hadn't seen it. And now he actually see with his own eyes. You can imagine how much he wept. He don't want people to know about it. This is my version, by the way. You know, if I want to wept on something, I'm going to hide. I don't want people to say I'm weak. So at night he go down, he see the city. I'm sure he wept all night. He said, Lord, now I see even the worse than what I have heard. He in the night, he observed the city. Then I arose in the night, and I and a few men, and I told no one what God had put in my heart to do Jerusalem. God put something in his heart. He know it. But he have not made the plan yet. Nor was there any animal with me except the one which I rode. And I went out by night through the valley gate to the serpent well and the refuse gate and viewed the wall of Jerusalem which were broken down and its gate which were burned with fire. He saw with his own eyes. He observed the plan. He see how many things were broken down. He's going to rebuild this wall. He's going to rebuild this gate. But he needs to observe. He needs to plan carefully before he presents to other people. Do you get the point? We need to plan intelligently. We need to make a clear goal. We need to find out how much it costs. We need to know how many manpower to rebuild the gate. A lot of time we're young, we feel excited, and we jump on the gun to try to change something. My friend, it's only what take one chance. It's only take one chance. If you fail, you lose the trust of the people. You understand what I'm talking about? You get my point. We need to gain trust. To be a leader, you got to gain trust with other people in order to enlist other people to follow us to build something for God. We need to gain the trust. That trust cannot be earned by money. It takes time. Take humility. And so when we gain the trust, we draw the plan, make sure it works, because if one word it don't work, we lose the trust of the people. Nehemiah knows that very well. He studied the plan day and night. He draws the plan, and then he starts to execute it. And so the quality of a quality leader is not only head knowledge, not only heart, but also head knowledge, planning. That's what he did that. And so I beg with the leaders of this church, we need to plan things out well. Look at the finance. Look at the manpower. Look at the resource. Don't try to do too many things. Nehemiah came back to the city, only one thing, and one thing he do is to rebuild the wall. He didn't come back, try to just do the preaching. He didn't come back to open another church. He didn't come back to open the party. No, it's only one thing, is to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. A lot of time we want to do many things. And everything, just wishy-washy, nothing is getting anywhere. If we just do one thing great, we will give God the glory. You got to give your best in one thing. One thing. And that's what Nehemiah did that. He put to work. He started to share with people. And so there, after that, end of verse 18, after he present everything, and he said, let us rise up. And they said, the people say, the plan of Nehemiah said, let us rise up and build. Then they set the hand to do this good work. He took time to persuade people. You know, the whole century, for so many years, no one do anything about the wall of Jerusalem. No one go out and fix them. No one go out and paint them. No one doing anything. Do you think Nehemiah just walked back into the city? He left the country so long and come back and he think he's a great guy and tried to rebuild the wall? You think people will listen to him? No. He studied the mind of the man there. He studied the people there. And he persuaded people to believe this plan is a plan of God so he can enlist everyone to build the temple. It's take time. It's take time, years and years for people to see the plan that you have is from God. Do you know that? It's take time. It's take time to come upon God, to ask for Him. It's take time to seek other people to help. I find this phrase very interesting. Waiting time is never wasted. Waiting upon the Lord, wait upon the people. Waiting time is never wasted and should not be wasted. Waiting time, waiting upon the Lord, on your knee, waiting to prepare the plan with other people. Waiting has never been wasted. A lot of people say, why it takes so long? Why? Am I slow or what? Some of them we're rushing things. But God said, waiting time is not wasted. So do not waste it. I thought about the mission center. Why come it takes so long? People are saying that, why? Pastor, what happened to you? Why come it takes so long? I come back and say, you know what? The journey for build the mission center is more sweet than actually have the mission center. You know what I'm talking about? the journey to get into the finish point is sweet. And God wants us to taste it. You see, we can do so quick to build a mission center or any project that you plan and never once kneel down and break in tears with God to ask Him for help. You never sense the blessing. And so I plead with the church, say, you know, thank you, God. Let give a struggle. That some goal that we cannot even achieve, allow us to kneel down and cry before you. Now, God wants to see this picture. And it's so sweet when I kneel down and cry to God and plead with God. I say, you know what? Thank you, Lord God. But if you let it go so quick, I don't even have a chance to do that. And I will miss the boat. I will miss everything that God prepared for me. Do you know what I'm talking about? And so I see this as an opportunity for us to see something great. But before we see something, God wants us to come to Him. God wants us to say, so Lord, I can't even do this. I tried so many times and I failed. God wants you to see, hear that. Just like Moses. Moses said, you know, Lord, what happened? Why do you want me to take these people? Hard-headed, go out of Egypt and go ahead and promised land. God wanted Moses to say, yes, I cannot do it. You have to come to the point as a leader to say, I cannot do it, God. You give me this task, it's impossible. That's what God wants to hear. Because when we start to humble and know that we insufficient our weakness, God will be blessing upon you. And so we cannot be both about it. And that's why the mission center, I want to share with you, some of you might not know about it. You know, the mission center, first time, $500,000, and now Pastor Vin push up into $1 million project. And say, what is Pastor Vin trying to do? That's people ask. If $500,000, I think we can do it. What if you need God? God want to move us to the point that we need Him. Because when it's finished, we will not boast. Doesn't my hand build this mission center? God want to say when we celebrate the mission center, because of God, Almighty God, have done this. And that's why waiting for God is very important. And so every leader, make a plan clearly, present to God, soak with prayer until the people of God see the vision. And then Nehemiah started to build the wall. I want to wrap things up. This is the last thing here. The last thing is not only the heart, not only the head, but the gut. He's willing to do something that's almost impossible. No money, no nothing. And here the people live in the land who never understand the importance of the temple. See, other people just join the church or join later and they don't have any gut feeling or any importance, the heritage of this temple. You know what I'm talking about? So, well, the temple doesn't have it. Just broke it down and build another one. They don't care. Nehemiah have lived. He was raised up. He was born there. He worshipped there. See, other people who come to see these leaders, you know what? Forget everything. Start back again. Forget about all these doctrines. We can start again. See, they don't understand where the root. And so people are going to start to cry now, start to make joke about you and say, why you do all this? Why do you want to build this? Why do you want to do so expensive? Save money and take care of your family. And maybe have saved some money and take your girlfriend to go out a date. Why do you put so much money into all this? See, Nehemiah sees something. I want to build something great for God, not something just mediocre. I want to build the mission, sir. I want to use the best material for God, not just something that's just cheap. I don't want people come to God's house and say, oh, wow, this God house so cheap. I'd rather go to the Mormon temple. How do you feel when people say that? So Nehemiah started building, and people say, you know what? Forget it. It's so hot up there. You come down. Nehemiah said in chapter 6, I don't have time to go to the verse 8, I'm not going to go down. I have a focus. I have something to do. I have to finish. You see, so many leaders are so distracted with so many good things out there, including myself. So distracted. Everything in ministry is good. Satan, we know, oh, these leaders, they are so godly and so... And so we're talking about soul winning, we're talking about printing book, we're talking about distributing, we're talking about evangelism, we're talking about go visit people, we don't feed the homeless, we do everything. Guess what? We've lost our focus. You see, we're a good Christian, and so Satan will put so good information to distract us. How many ministry, how many things do we do that we lost the focus that God put in our heart? Maybe the leader should examine whatever we do. Do we bring soul to Christ? Or we just do it for the sake of publicity, popularity? Everything. Do we aim for the vision that God put us? Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. I'll close with this text. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Paul teaching to the church in Philippi is like this. Not that I have already attained, nor I am already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold on that of which Christ Jesus has also laid hold on of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Only one thing, focus on Christ. Focus on the plan. We can do many things but end up nothing. So a good leader is not only a heart a compassion for people, not only have the head planning things well, but also have gut willing to do something that is impossible. Godly leader will do something that the world will reject. Jesus said, if they curse you, me, they will curse you. If they crucify me, they will crucify you. So do not feel strange to be godly leader that the world hates you. Do not be surprised that we are godly leader. What will we do that many people, even godly people, against you? You see, only God will give you the vision that no one else has. Because in particular point in time, he wants you to do something. Sometimes even the pastor, we don't even know. But if you know that's the Lord's will, you continue with that vision because only God used you in that right opportunity to make eternal change. So God calling you to be a godly leader. God have taken Jeremiah to the point very hard and tough. Even the end of his journey, many people don't even give him thanks. Applause. Wow, Nehemiah, you come up and you build a whole wall of the city and you paint up all the gate. If you read chapter 13 of Nehemiah, no one celebrates for him. But that's what leaders are about. We don't need praise from men. All we need is did God's will. And so godly leaders sometimes is tough. But the blessings await in front of us. A blessing waiting for us. The missionary by the name of Morris, he spent 40 years in Africa and he traveled home toward New York on a boat, a ship. And he thought probably the church probably would give him a great big surprise party and exciting after 40 years of missionary, hard work. While he traveled back home, and on that ship, there's a President Roosevelt. What is it? Roosevelt. And they hear all the band singing and clapping. And say, wow, there's a big party open for the president. And so he assumed probably the church going to be a party for him. But as he stepped out in the ship, no one greeted him. And he looked to the president and said, how come he received all those, the crowds, applause, all that? And he said, oh God, I sacrificed 40 years of my life. And here I'm coming home, and you're not throwing a party for me. And God impressed him, saying, my son, you're not home yet. You're not home yet. One of these days, when Jesus Christ comes to the count of heaven, my son and my daughter, now you're coming home. The blessings in front of us, but keep on going. What you do that no one can do. What's your calling that no one else call like God's calling you? This particular time of history, God has put you in the place to lead the people. Take on this opportunity to have an eternal change for the people that you lead.